Hi. As part of our series of tefillah, what we're going to discuss today is some of the introductory brachos that we say. Very often, these are brachos we say when we wake up in the morning before we even make it to shul. One point that we'll make, whenever we use the word tefillah, the halachic term tefillah is referring to the Amida itself. That's what the Shemona Esrei during the week, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Amida. That is something where we actually speak face-to-face with the Ribbono Shel Olam, face-to-face with God. And as opposed to much of davening, which is speaking about Hashem, which is building up and preparing it, it's climbing up the mountain to that ultimate rendezvous, that ultimate encounter with Hashem, tefillah itself is what? Is the actual Amida, where we have that face-to-face, intimate rendezvous, intimate dialogue with the Almighty. By the way, as we know, the word tefillah, and Hirsch says this, the Rav says this, many say this. Grammatically, tefillah is from the word lehit palel, the reflexive of the verb pilel. Pilel means to analyze, to judge. One analyzes oneself, the reflexive, lehit palel. You analyze yourself, you judge yourself standing before God. What are my needs? What are my priorities? What do I have to be grateful about? What are my responsibilities? How can I improve? What kind of opportunities am I being afforded to make the world a better world, and how can I make the world a better world, be it myself, my family, my people, humanity? And these are some of the issues that we will ultimately get to. We're going to analyze various parts of the Siddur. This morning, as we mentioned, we're going to talk about some of the introductory brachos. For instance, Al Netilas Yadayim. Now, there are three different reasons given behind the obligation that Chazal set up of Netilas Yadayim in that bracha. One of them is the principle of Yadayim Askanios. The fact is the hands move around at night, you know, they touch different parts of the body that normally may not be makomos mechunasim, concealed parts, they may touch parts of the body that are not as clean. So the notion of cleaning one's hands, Yadayim Askanios, that's one idea. The other idea is this. We know, for instance, in terms of avoda, you have to prepare yourself. You don't just walk into a dialogue with the Almighty. You prepare yourself. How do you do that? The first thing we do is Netilas Yadayim, similar to what the Kohen would do in the Mikdash. The Kohen would go to the Kiyor, the laver, and do Netilas Yadayim V'raglayim. So we do the Netilas Yadayim under the rubric of Hikon Nikras Hashem Elokecha. You prepare yourself. You prepare yourself to engage the Almighty. It's a vehicle of hachana. Similarly, in that theme of Hikon Nikras Hashem Elokecha is the washing of the hands. And by the way, that's not just for Shacharis. That's true for davening Mincha and Maariv as well. But a similar concept of preparing oneself to engage, to encounter God, is the idea of what? Is the idea that we dress up for davening. We dress up to encounter the Almighty. Okay. The next bracha we have is Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar, and I'm opening up whichever Siddur you have, is a bracha where what do? It's a Birkas HaShevach because it's done after going to the bathroom, either after urinating or after defecating. But it's not just referring to the experience, the biological experience of the digestive system, because we know what happens if the digestive system doesn't work. If it's dysfunctional, a human being can't function. It's impossible to function without it. But it's a catalyst for us appreciating the great chachma, the great system and the great wisdom of how God created the human body. After that experience of relieving ourselves, we express gratitude for the great wisdom and the great chachma that God engaged us, or that he created us with, and that we have an appreciation for it. Let's just look at some of the text. Asher yatzar es adam b'chachma. God created us with great wisdom. Uvaravo nikavim nikavim chalalim chalalim. There are multiple orifices, right? There are orifices, nose, ears, urinary tract, you know, the tract of the system of digesting, you know, solids, the defecation tract, the mouth, the eyes. Galoy v'yadu lifnei chisech vodecha. It is revealed before your holy abode. She'im yifaseach echad mehem. Can you imagine if there would be a puncture, if there would be a continuous opening? First of all, the disgrace we would have if we were, look at someone who can't control their bladder, can't control their urinary tract. You know what a disgraceful life, and that's true. You see that with someone who, God forbid, cannot control the system of defecation as well. If they'd be opened, oh, yisaseh mechad mehem, or just the opposite, if they would be plugged up. if you'd have any of the orifices that are closed up, what it does to a human being. Eifshar lehiskayim v'lamud lefanecha. It's impossible to continue to exist, to stand before you. Baruch atah Hashem, you Hashem are the source. Now just by the way, before we continue, whenever we say Baruch, we're not blessing God. I mean, no, there are Meforshim who take that approach. The approach we're taking is Baruch means Mikor HaBracha. God, you are the source. It's an acknowledgement. A bracha is an acknowledgement that you are the source of this. You are the source of this blessing, of that blessing. It's an acknowledgement throughout our day, you know, of the role that God plays in the everyday, in our existence, in our ability to sustain ourselves and in His sustaining of our existence. Baruch atah Hashem, we acknowledge that you are the source of what? Rofei chol basar u'mafli lasos. You heal the flesh. In other words, because the human being cannot exist without a constant sustaining of its system. You know, look what happens. What's cancer? One cell metastasizes. It goes haywire. And ultimately that process of metastasizing can destroy the human organism. It can destroy the human being and kill us. So you rofei chol basar u'mafli lasos. Now the translation that's given is you do acts of great wonder. In other words, the more we study biology, the more we study organic chemistry, the more we study whether it's histology, whether it's anatomy, we come with this great, great, profound sense of being in awe, this great, profound sense of reverence of the God who created such a sophisticated system, and the needs for that, just to give you an example, the system of enzymes, you know, how our body stays heated, or other enzymes, just that whole synthesis where the system has to keep a state of equilibrium, mafli lasos. It's awesome. It's a pella. It's a wonder how a human being can exist. So again, the catalyst is going to the bathroom. That's the catalyst. But we're not just thanking God for that aspect of the human condition, but for the whole phenomena of human biology. It's an amazing, amazing bracha. There's another idea as well. What happens halachically when you go into the bathroom? You can't be maharher, you can't be thinking about divrei Torah, you can't be thinking about divrei tefillah in the bathroom. So what happens? You're not focused on chokhmah. You could study science in the bathroom. You could read the newspaper in the bathroom. But there's certain things you can't focus on. You know, your relationship, the knowledge of God. So what happens? We come out of the bathroom and we engage in that bracha. After we've cleaned our hands, we engage in this bracha. It brings us back into the world of relating to God, of great chokhmah. The next is the bracha of Elokai Netzor. I apologize. Elokai Neshama. Elokai Neshama. Now, I want to make a comment. The Ravid says this. I believe there are other Rishonim who say this as well. We have a concept that Shlomo HaMelech has articulated. What did Shlomo say? Bechol derecheha da'ehu. You should come to know God in all your ways. We relate to God when we eat. We relate to God in wholesale, in retail, in the financial world, in labor, in terms of whether an employer or employee. We have systems of halachas that enable us to relate to God in every aspect, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, you name it. So what happens? Sleep. The experience of sleep is also used to come to know God. What does that mean? We sleep for one purpose, to rejuvenate, to reinvigorate ourselves so that we can get up and once again, after being reinvigorated, to lead a life of perfection, to engage in avodas habore. And sleep is sandwiched by two brachas, hamapil, as we prepare ourselves and we put sleep into the proper context, and then Elokai neshama shenasata b'tahorehi, that when we wake up. So it puts sleep in that context. Now what's fascinating is this. In a perfect world, we would say the first thing we wake up, Elokai Neshama, would say that bracha. But to say God's name, to say a bracha, when we haven't washed our hands, we haven't cleaned ourselves, so that we don't do. We do a shortened version of it that doesn't have God's name, that doesn't have a bracha. It's called Modeh Ani Lefanecha. The first thing out of our lips in the morning is Modeh Ani. What is Modeh Ani? It's gratitude for the state of rejuvenation. It's gratitude that after having slept, we have the ability now to get up and function again. Let's look at Elokai Neshama, the real bracha, its full version, and keep in mind that it is the bracha achrona of Hamapiel. That's why it doesn't have a bracha beforehand, because it's the bracha achrona of Hamapiel, very much like Birkas Kriya Shema. You have the first two brachos before Shema that parallel the first two paragraphs of Shema. And then the other side of the sandwich is the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv, Emes V'Emuna at night, the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. There's no bracha rishona there. Why? Because it's a continuation. It's samuch lechaverta. It's a continuation of the previous set of brachas. Shema's in the middle of the sandwich. It's the meat of the sandwich. And the two slices of bread, so to speak, are the brachas before Shema, the bracha after Shema. So too here. Sleep is in the middle. That's the meat. And the two slices of bread, right, the two French baguettes. One side is Hamapil, the other side is Elkai Neshama. Let's look at the text. The neshama that you gave me is tahorahi. This is an important principle. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. It is pure. It's a pure soul. What does that mean? No matter what we do, and we do sometimes we're capable of doing terrible things. The human being is capable of some very inappropriate things. What do we say? The pure, pristine soul, that what we sometimes we refer to it as the Yetzer Tov, the intellect, the ability to perceive the knowledge of God, that is pristine. We become egotistical, we become defensive, we become jealous. So we have certain psychological flaws. We have certain emotional corruptions and emotional flaws. But what? Those are on the surface. Those, if I could use the analogy, those are stains that with the proper tshuva, those stains can be removed. But the pure, pristine soul is not impinged upon. It remains tahora. The Rav says this principle that's articulated in this bracha, that's the basis of tshuva. The reason tshuva is possible is because why? Elokai, my God, neshama shenasata bi, the soul that you placed in me, tahorahi, it is pure and it is pristine. And if I can just take off the surface dirt, and if I can just remove, the, so to speak, the filthy clothing that clothes that pure soul by correcting myself emotionally and by transforming myself, you know, removing the laziness, the arrogance, the haughtiness, the desire for money, the desire for power, all the different issues that we deal with, right? The insecurities, by dealing with them, by perfecting the emotions, ultimately we've perfected the stains on the exterior. But the interior itself, we believe, is pristine. Atavarasa, you created it, Hashem. Atah yitzartan, you formed it. Atah nefachtabi, you blew it into me, so to speak. Meaning what? You placed it in me. You gave me that basis for being a human being, that basis for life. V'atah meshamra bekirbi, and you protect it. You protect it. You protect the pure soul from me. You know, you protect my pure soul from myself, from my psyche and my emotions. V'atah asid litla mimeni, ultimately you will take it from me. No human being lives forever. But we have a faith. Ulhachazira bila asid lavo. Likewise, we believe in Tchias HaMesim, the revival of the dead. You'll take it from me, but you'll return it to me. And I'll have the opportunity to once again, you know, in a human guise, in a human condition, through Tchias HaMesim, through the revival of the dead, to house and to work with that soul. Kol zaman she'aneshama bekirbi, modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai ve'elokei avosai. We're not this morning going to address my God and the God of my fathers, but this is a theme that comes throughout Tefillah. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, Elokai ve'elokei avosai. We're going to come back to that. So even though we won't address that today, that is crucial in our relationship with Hashem. Ribon kol ha'masim, the master of all actions. Adon kol neshamos, the master of all souls. Baruch atah Hashem ha'machazir neshamos lifgarim meisim. You restore the soul to what? To the dead bodies, to dead corpses. Now, this does not mean, and there's a mistake people make, this does not mean that when a person dies at night, I'm sorry, when a person goes to sleep at night, they're dead. If that were true, I remember Rav Aaron Soloveitchik discussing this, Zatzal, if that were true, you couldn't walk into a room with somebody sleeping. A Kohen, I'm sorry, couldn't walk into a room. A Nazir couldn't walk into a room with someone sleeping. It's not so. Person's alive when they're sleeping, but the idea of what sleep does to us on a 24-hour basis, on a night-by-night basis, the sleep rejuvenates us, it reinvigorates us, it enables us to move forward and to accomplish and not to be, you know, lackadaisical, lethargic. That, so to speak, is the idea of machazir nishamos. That's the same idea, that the ultimate state of lethargy is death. The ultimate state of being out of it is death. So just like what God does, he gives us a system of rejuvenation on a daily level. Ultimately, when God takes the soul, God will restore it. So in the bracha, where we thank God for the experience of sleep, it's the bracha achrona over the sleep experience, the state of being rejuvenated, so too we allude to what? The ultimate removal of, you know, of consciousness, of awareness, which is death, in the ultimate rejuvenation. It's an allusion to that, even though the primary purpose of the bracha is that rejuvenation through the experience of sleep. B'chol d'racheha da'eyu, as Shlomo HaMelech said, every aspect of our life, we take, we sublimate, we channel, we relate to God. Okay. Those are the first two brachos. The next two brachos are the brachos of Birkas HaTorah. The next two brachos are the brachos of Birkas HaTorah. What do you deal with? Now, by the way, some hold that it's three brachos. There's an obligation for every Jew, okay, to make Birkas HaTorah. Even the Svardim who hold that, for instance, mitzvos, that women are not mechuyevin, the mitzvos say shazman grama, since the bracha relates to the chiyuv, the obligation to make the obligation to do the mitzvah, that's what the bracha relates to, they would exempt women from they don't allow women to make a bracha on those 14 categories. But even the Sephardic Rishonim hold that women make Birkas HaTorah. They can make Birkas HaTorah. Just parenthetically, the Sephardic Rishonim, the Rambam and others hold that what? That a Birkas HaMitzvah is on the Chiyuv to do the mitzvah. The Ashkenazic Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and others, they hold that the bracha is on the Kiyum. Not the obligation to do the mitzvah, but the opportunity or the fulfillment of the mitzvah, irrespective of if one is obligated or not. Whenever there's a fulfillment of a mitzvah, then there's a bracha. But Birkas HaTorah, that's true by the bracha of Sukkah, by the bracha of Lulav and Esrog, that debate between the Sephardic and Ashkenazic Rishonim, that exists, not by Birkas HaTorah. Because Birkas HaTorah is not only a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, on the mitzvah of learning, it's a bracha on Torah itself, on what Rab Chaim would refer to as the chefsa of Torah. You know, it's a bracha on the text, the object of Torah itself. That's why there are multiple brachos. What does it say? Asher kitshanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. The first bracha is what? On the mitzvah of limud. And the mitzvah is not just to learn Torah. It's to be engaged in Torah. Engaged is even when you're not learning, even when it's in a latent state, your mind is always on Torah. Torah is something which is all-encompassing. It's not just any particular mitzvah, it's the mitzvah that relates to the system in totality. La'asok, it's an engagement. And it also tells us that when we learn, it's not like reading a New York Times, where you're passively reading a Wall Street Journal. La'asok means you have to be actively engaged. You have to be questioning, you have to be challenging, you have to be analyzing. There's an active intellect that's required. That's la'asok b'divrei Torah. Okay? Now there's a question, does this next line, is it a continuation of the bracha or is it a new bracha? V'ha'arev na Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torascha b'finu. The words should become pleasant. In other words, it should be something we find meaning in, we find stimulation in. V'ha'arevna, not only in our mouths, but in our descendants' mouths. B'finu v'fi amcha beis Yisrael, v'niyeh anachnu v'tzeetzeinu v'tzeetzei amcha beis Yisrael. Our descendants and the descendants of all Jews, kulanu yodei shemecha, they should all come to know your name. Know your name is that the name of God is the knowledge of God. We should come to know the knowledge of God through the study of Torah. V'lomdei sorasecha lishma. Our learning should be for the proper and appropriate purposes. Our learning should be to come to ultimately to know God, to be able to perfect ourselves and refine ourselves. Shouldn't be used as a kardom lachborba, as the Mishnah and others says. The knowledge shouldn't be used as a weapon, a shovel with which to dig with, a weapon with which to use against others. You know, we refine our intellect and then we manipulate others. We learn subtleties and nuances in terms of the psyche of the human condition to manipulate others. We shouldn't use it for egotistical reasons. Oh, I know more than you. You're an amaretz, you know, look at you, you're a dimwit. You know, you're an intellectual pygmy. No, it's not meant to be used for those purposes, not at all. Ultimately, the goal of Torah is to refine the human being and to ultimately to know God. Insofar as the human being can know God, it's through that system of Torah. And again, if it's the most precious thing we have, the most precious thing a Jew has is the system of the Torah. It's not enough. If you care about something, if it's something that means something to you, if it's so precious, it's not something that you can retain within you. It's almost like a nevuah. It's something that you have to share with others. You have to convey to others. And that is the notion that should not just be in our mouths, but it's something that ultimately we transmit. We transmit the Torah to our descendants. And remember, the mitzvah, the actual mitzvah itself is lelamed. You learn in order to know. But the mitzvah is not just to know, it's to transmit. Whether it's to our biological descendants, our students, it's to transmit these ethical values, transmit these moral values, transmit these psychological insights, transmit a certain philosophical Weltanschauung, a hashkafas olam, of how to look at the world, how to look at a person's responsibility who lives in this world for a very short period of time. What is our obligation and our duty in this world? What's our relationship with God? What's our relationship with our people? The Torah teaches us all of that. And we make a bracha, not just on the mitzvah of learning, but as we're going to see now, it's like a birkas hashevach, so to speak, on the Torah itself. Not just a birkas hamitzvah, but a bracha of praise to God that we have this special gift, that we've been endowed with this gift. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, as we said, you Hashem are the source of all blessing. You Hashem are the source of all blessing. You are the master of the universe. So on the one hand, you say atah. There's an intimacy. There's a warmth. You know, you, I wouldn't speak to the president. I wouldn't speak to the governor in second term. You speak in third person. But then you step back and say, Melech HaOlam, master of the universe. So there's intimacy and there's reverence. There's Ava and there's Yira. Ava is closeness, warmth. Yira means a sense of respect, of reverence, of awe, of protocol. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. We thank God for having chosen us from all the nations. What makes us special? What enables us to leave the category of B'nai Noach, which you can be a very perfected human being a Ben Noach, but that covenant of Sinai, the covenant of the Torah. The Torah is the covenant that binds us to God, that special relationship, where we go from being obligated in the category of 7 to being obligated in 613, what we call perfected ethical monotheism. What's perfected ethical monotheism? When we go from the covenant of 7 to the covenant of 613, the bris of Sinai, the bris of the Torah. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. What did God choose us? What's our chosenness? We're not better. Most Rishonim, I'm not talking about Rabbi Yehuda Levi, but the other Rishonim do not hold a Jew is better. A human being is a human being. Everyone is created b'tzelem Elokim. Everyone was given an abstract intellect, a Yetzer Tov, an abstract intellect to perceive God. But what is our chosenness? We were chosen to do a mission. And what is the nature of that chosenness? The Torah. That God gave us a system. V'nasan lanu es toraso. Baruch ata Hashem. You Hashem are the source of all blessing. What is the blessing here? Nosein haTorah. That you give us the Torah. Not that it was a one-time event at Har Sinai. Constantly God enables us to delve into new depths, into deeper vistas in understanding the Torah. Baruch ata Hashem. Nosein haTorah. What is the idea here? Our chosenness is that we were chosen to do a mission. We were chosen not because we're better, but to transform the destiny of humanity, to transform and perfect all of humanity to lead a life of what we call ethical perfection, philosophical perfection. And how do we do that? Through the system of the Torah. The Torah perfects us. The Torah enables us to create as a microcosm, as a model for humanity, a society, a healthy society, a moral society, a perfected intellectual society, a theologically perfected society. And that ultimately can be, so to speak, the laboratory or the crucible that will shape and define and shape and impact upon the rest of civilization. How is that done? Through the system of the Torah, its axioms and postulates, its values, and its application that we call the mitzvos. The theory is the Torah, the application are the mitzvos. So what we've done today is we've talked about 5 brachos. The experience of washing the hands in the Tilas Yadayim, the Asher Yatzar, the role that plays, that Birkas HaShevach, Elokai Neshama, its relationship to sleep, why it doesn't start out with a bracha, why it's samuch lechaverta, it's joined or it's linked to the previous bracha of Amapil that was said the night before. And that's why if you don't say Elokai Neshama first thing in the morning, which we don't, what do? We say it right after Asher Yatzar. So that way it's samuch lechaverta. It's linked to its peer. It's linked to the bracha of Asher Yatzar. We have that. We talked about that's the role of Elokai Neshama and the rejuvenation experience of the experience of sleep. And then the Birkas HaTorah. What we'll do next time is we'll look at the Birkas HaShachar. That'll be our goal for next time. Thank you. If you have any questions, you have any issues on these topics, please feel free to email weil@ou.org, weil@ou.org. Thank you.